Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and the Gifted Whisperer Angel Empath Show. And today it will be Gifted Whisperer Angel Empath Psychic Lawyer Day Show. We will be having one heck of a fun show today, as we always do. My name is Marlene Prinzing, and it's not the printing show. It's no longer the Prinzing show. But my last name is still the same. I am your host. Some people call me Queen Marlene. That's easier than saying my last name, which is confusing. But I am Gifted Whisper. You can contact me at giftedwhisper.com. I, too, as the listeners know, have a story about how the heck I became named such a thing, and we will find out in just a minute. From our guest today. Our guest today is Mark Anthony. He is the psychic lawyer, a.k.a. the psychic explorer, and we will find out how the heck he got that title and if it was channeled from the gods or perhaps from some other place. So again, welcome, and on Fridays, my co-host is the Angel Empath, but today here Wednesdays from Colorado, it is just me, Gifted Whisperer. So a little bit more about my guest before I bring him on. Again, his name is Mark Anthony. He is the psychic lawyer. He is the psychic explorer. And he is an Oxford-educated attorney. And he is the author of this really cool book. It's called Evidence of Eternity. Mark has been a common guest on ABC, CBS, and NBC, and Fox. He specializes in karma, reincarnation, and near-death experiences. And I specialize, I would say, under the umbrella of intuitive readings, under human kind of readings, as well as see all kinds of funny phone numbers coming in on my switchboard here. So at any rate, I specialize in the human whisper readings as well as animal whisper readings and kind of the everything readings for individuals and animals. I like to think of myself as a guide to unlocking human potential, and we'll see in a moment where our guest is coming from as far as his specialties as well. And we'll see. We have a bunch of calls coming in, and I'm going to guess that I'm going to take a wild guess and see what happens on air, that the 321 is him. Let's see. Let's see. Okay, maybe not. Okay, 321 area code. Is that you, Mark?
That is very good intuitive guess. See, now all the listeners know you're a psychic. It is great to be here. Funny. Thank you for having me on.
Yes. Now, 321 is what? That's not even Florida, is it? No.
Yes, that is Florida. That is Florida.
Oh, well, okay. Well, heck, see, I didn't even know because I don't live in Florida, but there you go. Okay, so you just got back from New York on a tour, I hear.
I did. I did a speaking tour of New York City, where I had two events at the Edgar Cayce Center, and
ooh,
then a couple other appearances. Yeah, it was really wonderful. I did a talk on Friday night called Rulers, Royals, Psychics, and Spirits, and it's really quite a lot of fun because it's sort of what I do is I explain how powerful people from biblical times all the way up until today have often turned to psychics and mediums. And I gave examples, and that's a very popular presentation that I give around Halloween. A lot of times I focus on the haunted White House aspect, which is are there spirits wandering the halls of the White House, which is a really good topic for that. And then on Saturday night, I did a gallery event where there was, it was a packed house, and it was really wonderful. So everyone in New York City who came out, thank you very much. And where I did connections for audience members with their loved ones in spirit. So that was really, really quite exciting, and just meeting so many wonderful people. And, you know, Marlene, Christmas is great everywhere, but Christmas in New York City is really awesome. So that was just an added bonus of that
That's
tour.
Cool.
But it's been a very busy year for me because my new book, Evidence of Eternity, came out in March of this year, and I've done 23 cities tours, and Evidence of Eternity continues to be a major bestseller on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and several other places in the reincarnation, afterlife, spirituality, astral projection. It's helped a lot of people cope with the death of a loved one, and it explains spirit communication and the afterlife in terms of science, quantum physics, and human physiology, as opposed to, oh, this just happens, which is why it's been endorsed by the top near-death experience researchers in the world. So the Evidence of Eternity tour looks like it's going to be continuing at full pace right into 2016, and I was just notified by Columbia University in New York City that Evidence of Eternity has been submitted for a Pulitzer. So it's been quite a year, quite a very, very exciting, very busy, and a very rewarding year, rewarding in the sense that getting able to help people is, you know, service to humanity is just the greatest work of life.
Yes, it is. Thank God some of us are doing it.
Well, it seems like the world is full of a lot of people who really do not understand that, especially when you see, and I don't want to get all political, but religious fanatics who are screaming God is great as they're machine gunning down unarmed women and children. It's like, okay, if the message that you're receiving doesn't contain love, then it certainly is not from God.
Yes, yes. I just recently did a blog on this topic as well, and I'm doing a class on it, and I just got on GoFundMe.com for crowdfunding, and I put the title of this is radical. I'll say negative radicalization is impossible if you are attuned to your authentic self.
Wow. I think that sounds fascinating. I can't wait to read it. It's right on point. Well, I mean, think about it. If you look in biblical times, you know, Abraham is instructed by God to sacrifice his own son, and at the last minute an angel intercedes and says, don't do this, you've proven your love. Now, whether or not, you know, you want to believe that, that's up to you. And then you hear about an insane woman who drowns her three kids in the bathtub because God told her to do that. Now, are we going to base a religion on that? And certainly not, because clearly the woman was severely mentally disturbed, and the message that you were receiving was due to, you know, organic brain dysfunction as opposed to message from God. Because if the message that you receive in the spiritual and vibrational sense does not contain love, then it isn't from God. It's either because your brain doesn't work right because you're mentally ill, or it is coming from the human ego. And with the radicalization of people that murder and they're saying that it's in the name of God, it certainly isn't in the name of God. It's in the name of the ego, because they're being twisted and manipulated by their leaders to foster their leaders' personal ego-driven agendas. And it's just unfortunate that there's people weak and stupid enough to subscribe to that nonsense.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I've said this is other than the obvious, linear military strategies, I think a large way to reverse this crap, and I also wrote a blog on three ways to get out of the crap, not fall in the trap. And what you're just saying is the same thing, which is ego versus authentic self. And some people don't know what their authentic self is. So my premise is to educate and to teach what I would call experiential authentic self. I'm not just going to give someone a piece of information and say, oh, go be yourself, because some people don't even have the guidance to do that. So that brings me to what you do and kind of what I do as far as guidance. So you're guiding people, I would say, more from people who have crossed over than anything else. Is that a correct statement?
Well, as a psychic medium, my job is to help people on this side understand the everlasting nature of life by producing evidence. I mean, if I just say, your Aunt Martha's here and she loves you, okay, because you told me that your Aunt Martha died, then that's not evidential. Evidential is when I start getting their personality profile, what they look like, cause of death, their name, specific things about them, maybe what they did, songs that they like. And I was doing a reading for a woman today who, devastating year. She lost her husband and her son within like 2 months of each other. I mean, that's all since June. So it's just what she's going through is horrifying. And it was a very difficult reading because I can tell that she's still in the shock phase. There's two phases of grief. There's shock and there's trauma. There's different stages, but we're talking about shock versus trauma. And at one point, I started humming the song, and I said, wow, this song keeps coming to me. And she's just staring at me, and she said, well, I don't know if that makes sense, but my son was in a school play when he was a little boy, and he had to sing that song. Now, out of the millions of songs that exist in the world, that particular one comes to me. And I said, that's because he's giving that to you. And then all of a sudden I could see that she was making the connections. And I'm not being disrespectful to her. What I've seen is that a lot of people want to have a reading. They want to get a connection with their loved one within a month or two or even sooner after the death of a loved one. And in my books, Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity, and on my website, I explained that it's best to wait about 6 months. Not because the spirit can't communicate right away, but that the person receiving the message is still in that profound state of grief. And you're going to get the maximum benefit out of a reading once some stability and normalcy returns to your life, so then you'll be able to make those connections. Because if you're hysterically crying, or if you're on a mood-stabilizing medication or sedative, or crying your eyes out and numb, you're not going to recognize the volume of information that comes through. So a lot of what I do is to help people understand the everlasting nature of life, to help people heal by facilitating a connection, and also to show that faith and science are not really at odds. They're actually on the same page. Because it is through science that we'll eventually prove what people of faith have been saying for thousands of years.
Exactly. So it seems to me, now you're going to tell me in a minute, that there is a correlation in my mind between faith and science and you being a educated attorney, a lawyer, and then being a medium. So if I think there is a connection between faith and science and there's a connection between you being an attorney and a medium at the same time, what is the connection for you that I am poking at?
Oh, that's a very good question, and it's got several answers. Let's take the correlation between faith and science. Every religion in the world, and let's go with the oldest religion in the world, which is Hinduism. I mean, for 5,000 years, Hinduism's been going strong. And then take Buddhism to some extent, because the Buddhists are divided on whether or not there's a god. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and Native American religions, the Japanese Shinto religions, Taoism, and all the other variations on those religions all teach that the spirit, the soul, the consciousness, if you will, pre-exists the body, comes into the body. When the body no longer works, in other words, physical death, the consciousness, spirit moves on. The second law of thermodynamics in physics teaches us that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. And we do know that the body possesses energy, usually more after a cup of coffee in the morning or after some good physical exercise, but you know, I'm, you know, just joking a bit there, but we know that the brain, the heart, the neural network has an electrical field. So we know that there's electrical energy going on in the body, and that's just part of it. Now, if you look at, in the esoteric sense, you always hear, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All right, the golden rule exists in all the great faiths. But there's also the law of karma, the Buddhists and the Hindus that, you know, believe firmly that anything you do will come back to you. Christianity believes that as well. Whatever you shall reap, you shall sow, and all the religions have variants on that. And then if you look at the laws of physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So when you start seeing concepts between I'm sorry, there's a lot of interference in the background. Is there a problem?
No, I'm good. No, it must
okay,
be
yeah, I start hearing like a lot of static or something breaking up. So anyway, there are a lot of parallels between scientific concepts and faith. Now, where the two get at odds is where, well, my religion's the one and only, and you're wrong, so therefore we must put you to death. I mean, okay, that's where people start going really wrong. And where the science community goes wrong is, well, I don't believe it. Because a true scientist is open-minded, and every great discovery begins with, I don't know. I don't know why that happens. Let me examine it. Let me observe it. And I've had debates with quote unquote people in the science community say, well, that can't be proven. It's like, well, at one time the cause of disease could not be proven because the microscope had not been invented. And NASA released a report this year about I'm getting that staticky noise again.
Huh.
Okay.
Maybe it's the spirit.
I don't know.
Maybe
it's either static or, well, it sounds like papers or something being thrashed around. But at any rate, what we have to realize is that just because the science of today cannot prove something doesn't mean that the science of tomorrow will not be able to do this. Now, the other question that you asked was about being an attorney and a psychic medium. Both revolve upon evidence. As an attorney, I mean, evidence goes without saying. If you don't have evidence, you know, you're not going to win your case. I mean, you can be the cutest attorney in the world and flash your baby blue eyes at the jury and hope they're going to buy it. But if there's not enough evidence, any judge worth his or her salt is going to dismiss your case. You have to have evidence and facts to back up your position and to substantiate your point of view. And as a psychic medium, I have to bring forth evidence. Things that cannot be generalized. I mean, just to say, oh, they're here and they love you. Well, of course, you know, everyone you love who died, you know, loved you. But when you start giving facts about them, for example, I was doing a reading for this lady, and her husband's spirit communicated, and I started seeing an octopus. No, that's a really weird thing. I know. It's like, all right. So I'm like, okay, he's showing me an octopus. And the client goes, oh, my. And I said, what? She said, well, we used to live in Belize, and we lived on a canal. And we used to catch lobsters, and we had this tank, you know, this, like, big saltwater tank that we'd put the lobsters in. It was overlooking the canal, you know, and then we'd sell the lobsters. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I've seen those at, you know, most ports and things. And she said, one morning my husband and I came out with our coffee and an octopus had climbed up or slithered up out of the canal and was grabbing our lobsters. She goes, do you think that's what he's talking about? I said, well, unless you have another octopus story, I'm kind of thinking, yeah. And you know, we both started laughing. She said, well, I don't, so that's got to be it. And, you know, and if I said, oh, a puppy's coming through, a dog. Well, most people have dogs. I've had a bunch of dogs in my life.
Yeah.
But an octopus, and I mean, I could go on for hours with stories like that, and both of my books have illustrations of from real readings, real people, real readings about different aspects of spirit communication.
Yes, yes. So I'm going to give the listeners what I'm going to call the mundane for dummies version, you know, those books for dummies versions of what you just said. in a different kind of slant. But here's what I picked up from what this was going on about the process of this faith in science and, oh, I'm making up a word, I'm going to call it lawyerism and mediumship, and that how they're connected. Now, here's what I got. It's like the cliff notes for this. I get that you being a lawyer is exactly the same as a scientist, and anybody of faith is, to me, the same vibration as someone who's a medium. That you're connecting somehow the same frequency.
I like
you're
that.
On the same, you're on the same page, right?
Right, because as an attorney, you have to be analytical. You have to be, at least, when you're acting as an advocate, you're anything but objective. You know, you're totally subjective because you want to win your case. But you still have to persuade people who either a judge or a jury who are theoretically unbiased with facts and evidence, okay? And then certainly as a person of faith, the problem with blind faith is it's blind. And, and I was raised as a Catholic, and I had very seriously considered going into the clergy to become a priest. The problem, and one of the big Catholic zingers is, oh, well, faith is believing and yet not seeing. You know, when doubting Thomas the Apostle said, I don't believe Jesus reincarnated, then poof, there he is and says, you know, put your fingers in my holes in my hand and in my chest. I mean, excuse me, in the side where the spear pierced him when he was on the cross. And that you must, you know, believe whether or not you see. Now, that works for a lot of people. And if it does, that's fantastic. Because faith is a beautiful gift. But there's a lot of people, and we're seeing this now, Marlene, particularly in the United States, and I'd say the westernized or industrialized countries, is a decline in adherence to traditional religions because the believe what we're telling you isn't working for them. People want the actual direct connect, the experience, and certainly through your work, that's what you do. You guide and help people to have that personalized experience. Because it's funny, when people say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, I always ask, well, what does that mean? And then they give you this insipid look like, gee, I don't know, it just, you know, sounded good. Well, what that means, I mean, and you know what I'm talking about. That's why you're laughing, right? Yeah, I see people all the time. I'll say, well, what faith were you raised in? Well, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. I go, then explain to me what that means. And they're like, well, I don't know what that means. And, you know, that's like saying, my country, right or wrong. It's like, do you really know what that means? No, well, that's what the Nazi slogan was. It's like, oh, my God, you know. So you got to be careful about that. A person who is spiritual as opposed to religious means that I believe in God or an afterlife or a higher power based on my personal experiences. For example, in the spirituality of Hinduism in particular, and Buddhism, it's not so much to believe in God, it is to try to see God. Whereas in the West, we sit here and debate the existence of God, and in a lot of religions, it's like, well, you know, God came, you know, in the form of Jesus and told a bunch of people things, and it was written down, and that was it. And, you know, you can't believe that God will come and talk to us because it all happened 2,000 years ago. Whereas I believe, as the Hindus and the Buddhists believe, and the Japanese Shintos, that God walks among us all the time. And so being spiritual is having that experience. And when people come to me for connections, they want that personal experience. They want to hear things from their loved ones and about their loved ones and about them that there's no way I could possibly know. You know, people say, oh, well, you must have Googled me. Really? Did Google have the name of your cat when you were in third grade? I remember I was doing a reading for this one woman and her dog came through. It was a Yorkshire Terrier. And I said, I feel this crushing sensation. And I said, the dog is forgiving you. And she said, well, I ran over my dog, but I guess you knew that. And I remember I said, well, unless it made ABC World News tonight, chances are not.
Oh, you know? My goodness. Oh, that's crazy. Crazy, awful, weird, all at the same time. Well, I'm going to segue out of that. I'm going to segue out because we have 5 minutes. I'm going to make one more connection to what you said, and then I'm going to see if one of these callers has a question for you.
Sure.
The other thing I'm making between what you do and even what I do, but yours is more polarizing than mine in a good kind of way, is I think there's some connection with yin and yang here as well, with these opposite values that we're talking about. I just want to make that note, just for the world or whoever wants to listen. Then I'm going to see if this person wants a question, and if they don't want a question and they just want to listen, because I'm sort of recognizing the phone number and sort of not, so this ought to be real exciting, then I'm going to ask you to call in my dog if this person doesn't have any call-in from the other side that they want to be talking to. Okay, so let's see. It's a 305 area code. Is the 305 area code, would they like to ask Mark or myself a question?
No, I just wanted to listen, and thank you so much.
Is that Deanna?
Okay. Yes, it is.
Oh,
yes,
my gosh, I recognize your voice. I know, Marlene's probably going, my God, he really is psychic. He knows Deanna. And it's like, no, Deanna is a big fan of Blog Talk Radio and psychics, and for the benefit of the listeners, I've talked to her several times, and she's an awesome person, and I just think the world of her. So how are you, Deanna?
Well, thinking that maybe I will try to make the trip to Vero Beach on Saturday, but I'm not sure I can.
Okay. I mean, if so, love to see you. My my team is working on finding venues in South Florida because we've been all over the country this year, and certainly in January, February, and early March, we prefer to be in Florida as opposed to going to, like, Minnesota. I love Minnesota, I love Minnesota and I love Chicago, but not so much in January or February. So we'll be concentrating on South Florida. So I look forward to meeting you in person.
I hope I can make it there, Mark. And thank you so much for asking if I had a question, Marlene.
Yes. Well, stay in contact with both of us, and I'll say goodbye to you and close out the show here with Mark. But thank you for calling. Continue to listen. We've just got a couple more minutes left here. Okay. How about for the last 2 minutes, you call in my dog?
Well, I don't conjure or summon anyone. That's not how my ability works. But I'm glad that you brought up about animals because in my new book, Evidence of Eternity, I've redefined mediumship, taking it out of the Victorian era into the current era, and I refer to what I do as interdimensional communication because we live in the material world dimension and we're communicating with another dimension. And I wrote a chapter on communicating with animals, which is very interesting because it's quite a bit different than talking to people. Animals are very direct.
Yeah.
They either like it or they don't. The joke I make is dogs come in and they're all happy. Hey, guys, your cat pops in. It's like, well, thank you for cleaning my box. Whatever, I'll see you later. But of course, it's not that simplistic. But it's fascinating speaking with animals. I've communicated with dogs, cats, horses, bunnies, a couple hamsters, birds, and then recently a bear. That one was a big surprise. That was a big surprise. The spirit of this gentleman who was a hunter came through, and one time he'd shot a bear, and I didn't know that, and there he is, and this big black bear's next to him, and his son goes, well, Daddy done shot himself a big old bear one time, and apparently the big old bear came through, and it was really, really fascinating, because the bear wasn't holding a grudge. The bear seemed to understand that there are predators, and sometimes the predators end up being the prey. It was amazing. But
all right.
My book Evidence of Eternity and my book Never Letting Go are the ideal Christmas gifts for anyone coping with the loss of a loved one. They're available at all fine bookstores, Amazon, and go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com. Marlene, thank you for having me on, and to all the listeners, may God bless you and happy holidays, or I like to say as politically correct, have a merry Ramahana Kwansmas.
Get down on your funky self. Thank you. Okay, that was a fabulous show. We have 20 seconds left to close out here on Blog Talk, so I want to thank Blog Talk for giving me this platform to interview people who help others and to generically help others. And as you heard from Mark, you can contact him at evidenceofeternity.com. If you want to give the gift of a Gifted Whisperer reading, contact giftedwhisperer.com. Thank you.